Welcome to the Living Witness broadcast. I'm your host, Pastor Derek Thomas, and my prayer today is that the message blesses you and inspires you to be all that you can be, to reach the world with the life-giving word. Enjoy today's message. God bless.
Hey, a hurricane is coming. Hey, destruction is coming. You got to get this right now. You know, John the Baptist put it this way, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We should be saying, repent, for judgment is coming. Judgment is on the way. Judgment is on the horizon. This is serious. This is the end of the world as we know it. Are you in right standing? If you left this place today, are you secure and sound and knowing that your place is going to be with Jesus? This is something that's going to radically change how people live. And God needs us to be just as radical in sharing the gospel message and in sharing the warning. Because like my parents always used to tell me, warning comes before the storm. And the storm is brewing and the storm is brewing and it's starting to brew up and it's on its way. Do I know the time frame? No, I don't know the time frame. No man knows the exact time frame. But in looking at the signs of the times, we can see that this is not the same world that it once was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, dare I say even 1 year ago. This is not the same world that we've awakened to today. This is a world that calls for us as a church to be at an even more heightened level of determination, a more heightened level of sense of urgency, so that we can help people say, look, it's time for you to stop the nonsense. It's time for you to stop blatantly sinning against God, because an end has already been put to that. Because Jesus was wounded for your transgressions. There's a way out. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't let the enemy fool you into thinking that you got to keep sinning because, you know, you started sinning and God's not going to forgive you. Because looking at the second purpose of this, not only to finish transgressions in verse 24 of Daniel 9, to make an end of sins. God put a period on it. He put a period on it. And the "it" that I mean is sin. He put a period on sin. Because when he died and rose again, he rose with all power in his hand, because before he got up, he took a trip down the hill and he got the keys to death and the grave, which means all power is his. He's got the keys, literally. Literally, he's got the keys to the doors. And because he's got the keys to the doors, ultimately, the Father's going to judge based on the counsel of the Son, which he gets directly from our activity as to how well we listen to or how defiantly we ignore the promptings of Holy Spirit. So we've got to realize that there are people out there that God has given us charge to go out and reach. He's given us charge to go out and sound the alarm. He's given us charge to go out and tell them, my brother, my sister, stop the sinning in the name of Jesus. Stop the sinning, because an end has been put to that. You don't have to keep walking on that same treadmill. You don't have to stay in that same trap. Because Jesus indeed paid it all. When we look at our position in the grand scheme of things, this is what we're supposed to be doing now. Practically, this is our role in relation to all this. So I said from the outset that, and this has been a, it's been a passage of scripture that I've really wrestled with a lot in my adult life, a lot in my ministerial life. But Holy Spirit said it comes down to understanding the purpose of the period of time and understanding your position as a part of the church in the grand scheme of things. We as a church hold a pivotal role and a pivotal position in this. We hold a pivotal position in all that's taking place and in all that's happening. And it's up to us to help the world know that you don't have to go the way the enemy's trying to get you to see. You don't have to go that way, because God is standing there wanting us to come home. He loves us so much, as John 3:16 says, that he gave his only begotten Son so that he could die once for all time Once for every generation before us, once for our generation, once for every generation after us. One time to cover everything. That's called propitiation. So he called, he allowed his son to come and die once for everyone, so that as we make the choice to say yes to Jesus, our sin is erased. And like Daniel, our position and our place as a church should be in a constant state of intercession for the children, intercession for our brothers and sisters who have been grafted into the family through Christ. God save, heal, deliver. God open the eyes of those that don't know you. Open the hearts of those whose hearts are hardened towards you, that they might receive your reconciliation, which is the third thing here, to make reconciliation for iniquity. And the fourth thing, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. God's desire is to put us back in right standing. Can he do it? Sure, he's God. Will he do it without our consent? Absolutely not. Because from the outset, at man's fall, choice was introduced into the equation. And you all have heard me say, with choices come consequences. And we have to make wise choices as a church in this age. Because the one thing I want to bring to everyone's attention is this. If you go back and look from Daniel's lifetime in this chart here, from Daniel's lifetime all the way down to the church age, with the exception of the direct references of Christ, his entry and his crucifixion, each one of these places, each one of these things, each one of these kingdoms, each one of these empires, all have one thing in common. Anybody have any idea what that one thing is? Take a wild guess.
Repeat the question one more, sorry.
Sure, absolutely. Each one of these kingdoms and empires that are represented up here in the fulfilled prophecy section, each one of these things have one thing in common, with the exception of Christ's entries. They all have one thing in common. Take a wild guess at what the one thing is that they all have in common.
Is it before Christ?
They were before Christ, yes. They did have that in common. But think about it. If you look at the dates, you see that each of them existed in their own window of time. So before one could start, what had to happen to the previous one?
One had to end.
Correct. And that's the thing. Each one of these eras, each one of these kingdoms, each one of these empires ended. They had a set season. They had a set window. They had a set age, if you will. They had a set epoch. There are ages that are happening. And each of these ages represent a period of time and represent progression towards God's ultimate end to all of this, which is reconciling his people, his church, back to himself in glory. So since we know by looking at this that each of these ages, each of these negative ages outside of 445 BC, because that's when the decree to rebuild Jerusalem went out, outside of that, and outside of Jerusalem being restored, each one of the individuals and each one of the kingdoms, because they chose to do it their way and not God's way, they had a season, they had a run, but ultimately those seasons and runs came to an end because they weren't doing this thing God's way. So if that happened and it wasn't being done God's way, we have a season and we have an age. The church has an age. That's why it's called the church age. In other words, this is our season and this is our time. And the positioning of our season and our time is significant because You know, when we look at this and we look at the fact that there are 7 weeks, if we look at the time, we realize that the 7 weeks is broken up in such a fashion so that there's a window of time between the first 6 weeks and the seventh week. Because the seventh week in this time frame, or the seventh period of time within that final age, is a time where Christ is going to come back. And that hasn't been fulfilled yet because he's not come back yet. So we're basically in this grand scheme of things of this 70-week period between weeks 6 and
10. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Derek Thomas of Living Witness Ministries, and I want to invite you to our new Saturday Night Live worship service, Saturday evenings at 5:30 p.m. at Hope City Church, 2240 North National Avenue. The Lord is moving mightily by his Spirit in these days, and we want you to be a part of the move that God has on the South Side. God is moving to win souls. He's moving to save people. He's moving to heal, deliver, and set free. You don't want to miss out on the movement. Don't meet us there. Beat us there Saturday nights, 5:30 p.m. for Saturday Night Live, our LWM worship service in Milwaukee at Hope City Church, 2240 North National Avenue. Look forward to seeing you there. God bless. Living Witness Ministries has been given a mandate to go into all the world and reach the same with the life-giving word. In this phase of our development, God is doing so through the ushering in of the Abandon No More initiative. Through this campaign, God is using Living Witness Ministries to reach the whole man in major urban communities in order to help them realize and see that God has not forgotten them, and neither has his church. Our first endeavor in this initiative is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by obtaining a ministry campus in the Hampton Heights neighborhood. With this ministry campus, we're looking to establish holistic programs that impact every sector of the community, including the Living Witness Christian Academy, the A&M Neighborhood Watch Program, the Feed My Sheep Community Food Pantry, the Provision Community Center and Beds Program, the A&M Economic Empowerment and Wealth Center, the Kirkendall Community Health Center, the A&M Community Beautification Campaign, and the Lark and Lee Community Service Program. Won't you help us in our endeavor to practically reach this portion of the world with the life-giving word? Please sow into Living Witness Ministries Capital Building Fund. You can do so through our existing modes of giving, including Cash App, at $LWMinistries2020, Tithely or Givelify at Living Witness Ministries, LaGrange, Illinois, or by mail at P.O. Box 250-769, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53225. Please do your part as the Lord leads you to help us acquire this property so that we can be the blessing that God has called us to be in Milwaukee, but more importantly, so that we can fulfill our God-given mandate in this phase of ministry to possess the land in Milwaukee, one soul at a time, for God's glory. Thank you in advance for your support, and God bless. We pray you were blessed by today's message and would love to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests, praise reports, or would like to learn more about Living Witness Ministries, you can write to us at P.O. Box 250-769, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53225. Again, that's P.O. Box 250-769, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53225. You can also reach us by phone at area code 414-909-0133. That's area code 404-909-0133. You can also email us at livingtowitness@gmail.com. That's the word living, the number 2, witness@gmail.com. To learn more about Living Witness Ministries online, visit us at www.livingwitnessministries.org. Until next time, continue to live your life as a living witness. God bless.